obviously it's going to be a big game for us. We've got to get 2 points, and obviously two tough teams in the Central Division we're going to play. But you know, we're just focused on beating the Nashville Predators tomorrow.
Full of emotion, Shea Weber going back to Nashville today. It was nice though. It was interesting to see the I watched the 15-minute presser with PK. You know, obviously a little bit more, you know, a little more bounce in the step there. Interacting, of course, with Pat Hickey from the Montreal Gazette, and then Shea Weber was just like bang, bang. Ask a question, you got a nice little answer. Bang, bang. Next question. Move on. Not very emotional, but that's who he is. It's okay. I like it. I like both ends of it. I like sometimes John Tortorella, sometimes Bill Belichick. Both work. You never know. Joining us now, part of the drive here on a TSN 690, from the reporters, Michael Farber. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon.
How you doing? Happy New Year. All the best for 2017.
And to you guys.
Thank you very much. That was, of course, Shea Weber bringing us in. It was so interesting to see. Michael, you know, just two different personalities, two great hockey players. PK comes out with this beautiful black leatherish jacket. I don't know if you saw this, but when he came out, and we just to show you the power of Pat Hickey, he got out there and everybody's represented, French side, Anglo side, print, radio, television. And PK Subban walks up to the podium, and the first guy, he's like, "Hi, Pat!" Kind of like waves over at Pat Hickey to give him a, you know, that he noticed him in the front row there. So that was pretty cool. And Shea Weber, this is exactly who he is. Very simple, you know, didn't answer too many questions and didn't stay up there too long.
No, you get what you get from Shea Weber, which is an honest day's work and sometimes a great day's work. He's fit in very nicely in Montreal. He was an extremely popular captain in Nashville. Players all loved him to death. He was considered the most solid guy around. Why was he traded? Well, I don't know precisely, but let's go back and look at the offer sheet that the Philadelphia Flyers made, and David Poile, who lost a defenseman in Ryan Suter not long before that, was compelled to match. Well, this was a contract that was forced on the Predators, and maybe they were never entirely comfortable with it in the way that, say, Montreal might have not been entirely comfortable with the contract that Don Meehan, P.K. Subban's agent, got for him here. Clearly, there was some drama about P.K.'s contract, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and finally it did. Of course, Subban had that no-trade clause kicking in on July 1, and that was the end of the leverage the Canadians had in dealing with their player. And maybe there were contracts that figured into this calculation, into this trade. I think that angle has not been explored nearly enough.
And for David Poile, how about he figures he's, you know, with Shea Weber and the Nashville Predators and Roman Josi and Pekka Rinne, the most popular players on that team, just from the PK Subban pushing them, you know, off ice, just obviously PK Subban makes your team a lot more marketable than Shea Weber, right? He's out there. It's what he likes to do. You know, he shows up to a karaoke bar and he tears it apart. There's a better chance of PK Subban when the Predators are in New York joining, you know, Jimmy Fallon, than there is a chance of Shea Weber doing that. So how much of the just David Poile felt maybe his franchise needs a push? He's competing against the Tennessee Titans. He's competing against college football in the area. How much do you think that played in?
Zero.
Zero?
Okay. I know David pretty well. David's about winning a Stanley Cup. He put together a team in Washington that got to a final under a new general manager in George McPhee, and that would have been the 1998 Washington Capitals. Then he went to Nashville, and he hasn't really been close. It's about getting deep into the playoffs. The year that they look like they might make a run, they lost to a very middling Coyotes team, and that was the other Montreal Canadiens player that will be greeted tonight in Nashville, Alexander Radulov, who went AWOL one night with a Kostitsyn brother, and I'm sure he will be remembered in the, I guess it's the Bridgestone Arena now.
Yes, it is.
And probably not as fondly as Shea Weber. But no, this is not about marketing, David Poile. This is about winning a cup. I know Poile was enamored of the way Subban played. He makes forwards a lot better. Nashville is pretty good on the back end, whether it's Weber back there or whether it's a healthy Subban back there. Defense hasn't been their problem. It's about getting more goals from forwards. It's why he traded for Ryan Johansson. And it's why he thinks PK Subban is going to help his team, because we know Subban contributes to the forward success, the way he moves the puck. So this was a hockey trade. I think contracts, though, are the elephants in the respective rooms.
You know, it is kind of interesting, Michael, how things worked out in terms of the injury with PK Subban, just because when the trade was originally made, everyone was talking about these hard miles that Shea Weber logged in the Western Conference and how PK Subban was younger and fresher and had a longer lifespan maybe than Shea Weber at this point. And maybe that's still the case, but now Weber playing tonight, PK Subban not playing tonight. How much concern do you think in Nashville with how serious this injury might actually be?
Well, if it's a hernia, it's something that's serious, but not career serious. You know, it'll get fixed and PK will be back. Until the late injury last season, Subban essentially had played every game he could have in the NHL. I mean, he was a scratch a few times, but he was a healthy guy. So I don't think that's an issue. I think, as you point out, the paradigm holds. I mean, Subban's a younger player. He plays a less physical game. You would think that the miles would be lower on his body. But playing in that Western Conference and indeed in that division, they're better offensive players that a defenseman, a top pair defenseman, have to deal with. Who is in the Canadiens division? Who are the top offensive players? Who are the real studs? You know, Erik Karlsson, maybe, but there aren't a bunch of them. You know, Boston really doesn't have a game breaker. You know, Buffalo certainly doesn't. Tampa Bay with, you know, you can say, well, maybe Stamkos certainly when he's healthy, but he's not healthy. The talent in that central with Kane and Tarasenko, it presents a greater challenge, and I think Subban has realized that.
Simon Slikas in for Mitch Melnyk, Mitch Gallo and Dave Trenadui. This is Melnyk in the Afternoon on TSN 690 in conversation with Michael Farber from TSN, the reporters. Michael, yesterday on social media, quite the reaction to the low turnout at the World Junior quarterfinal match between Canada and the Czech Republic. And we've been talking about it throughout the from the morning show till today. It's been a hot topic issue here in Montreal. Some would believe that it's going to be a while till junior hockey comes back. Michael, is the problem the fan base not showing up, or I'm sure you've taken notice and you've seen some of these prices, and it's unaffordable for a family of four, especially if you want to take the young ones out there to watch a, you know, Canada versus Czech Republic in a quarterfinal matchup.
Yeah, or for a family of two, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, really. But there's one element that people seem to want to shy away from. And Bruce Arthur, my buddy on the reporters, skirted the issue today. Wrote a nice column, but I think he missed this element. Ken Campbell, Hockey News, missed this element because, yeah, the prices and fatigue, having had the World Junior here a couple of years ago, it's about the relationship between Montreal and Team Canada's. Unless you are going to see best on best in Olympic-type format, or maybe a 1996 version of the World Cup, there is no great love for Team Canada in Montreal. Now, I've only been here since 1979. I'm an outsider. But it's obvious to me, you just can't slap a flag on something and have it fly like it might in Halifax or Saskatoon or pretty much anywhere else. Yes, those are cities that don't have NHL teams, and there are a whole bunch of factors. I'm not saying this is the only factor, but lots of people are afraid to say it. There is no great love here for Team Canada. And if you look at the other events that do well in the city, well, there's the Canadian Grand Prix, but it's not really a Canadian Grand Prix. It's the Grand Prix of Canada because it's the only race in the country. There's tennis here, and that does really well, but that's a global event. It's an international event. It's not sticking a flag on it and expecting people to come out because it's Team Canada. We saw this in, before I got here in the late 70s, and the World Juniors were here. And further to what we talked about, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago, their junior hockey hasn't been a big deal here since Mario Lemieux playing for the Voisins of Laval and J.J. Daigneault playing for Longueuil and Jacques Lemaire and Pat LaFontaine in Verdun. And that's going back to prior to 1985. So junior hockey's not a thing. Team Canada's not a thing. And ticket prices were outrageous.
Michael, thanks for taking the time. Always a pleasure.
Okay, thanks.